anytime that you can have Eric Frost and Bill here from Sawbill, Bill Hansen, to play music. That's fun. Of course,
thanks.
Oftentimes you have quite a few other members here.
Yeah, occasionally so.
Occasionally so when yeah. when you're in playing, but it's great to have you and Bill in.
Thank you.
Eric, welcome nice back to the here. Roadhouse. Bill, you too. I know that you're not mic'd for talking, but you can sure... We'll pick you up.
he can just pantomime, and the radio audience just guess what
exactly.
he's thinking.
Now, Eric, you're playing down at Cascade Pub this weekend.
Yeah, I am. It's actually my last gig until the winter season heads up. So
when does that start?
I don't know.
Next week.
next week.
I didn't know there was this date, but apparently.
Usually the local music runs through the end of October, and then kind of takes a little break for the month of November. But I'm traveling for the next 5 weeks, which will be really nice. So
did you hear that, Bob? There's a break in November. We could still get that weekend where nothing happens, maybe in November.
But as most people here know, nothing happens in all of November.
Okay.
So you're we'll good pick to go. One then. You're good to go.
Yeah. And the Cascade Pub, that's really been a nice addition to, as far as a venue in Cook County, I think.
I love playing that room. It's really nice. It can be really intimate at times, and at sometimes it can get really lively. It's a great room to play.
Yeah. It's not large.
No, but it sounds great.
But it sounds good in there.
Yeah.
Were you able to take in some of the, I know you were, some of the music down at the Big Tent down at North House?
Yes. Man, made me really realize that I should be taking some lessons.
Oh, no. I didn't mean it that way at all.
It was really a fun weekend last weekend with Mountain Stage being up here. I got to meet a lot of the performers and meet the crew from the Mountain Stage. Uh-huh. And oh man, what just wonderful people, and it was just so great to have them up here and share this part of the world with them, and they totally got it. I mean, they on Wednesday evening we were down at North House, and the sunset was just gorgeous, and the whole crew was just standing out there in awe. I mean, nobody was even speaking, and it was just like, these people get it.
I know Mountain Stage crew, they want to come back.
Oh yeah,
they love it here.
Oh yeah.
So that's good for our community, but it's also great to have people like you and Bill Hansen playing music on a regular basis.
Yes, it's really nice to have a supportive community because, you know, I mean, communities that support the arts tend to have better art than those that don't.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah, that's what makes it go around. You got to have people playing, and you got to have people listening.
Exactly, and you know, Cook County has really become a musical destination. You know, I've had people this summer, you know, saying that they've been planning their trip around when I was performing, and that's just, you know, not only flattering, but it also goes to show that it's working. Mm-hmm. That's really nice.
Yeah. What have you got to play for us to begin with there?
Well, I'm going to do a tune.
Bill's accompanying.
Yeah, Bill's going to play. I'm going to start with a tune I wrote fairly recently. And this is a tune that was inspired after I canoed the length of the Mississippi. And I always knew that songs would eventually reveal themselves. It only took 10 years. So this is a tune called My Mississippi.
Well, I grew up on the low side of the levee, about 5 miles south of Memphis town. My brothers and I would run down to the river just to watch her as she steamed on by. Oh Lord, buy me a ticket way down south, way down to New Orleans, singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket on a stern wheel steamboat, the Mississippi Queen. Well, she light up the night as she rounded the bend, blowing steam with some music from Dixieland. She'd overnight on the eastern wall, blowing till morning never stop at all. Oh Lord, buy me a ticket way down south, way down in New Orleans, singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket on a stern wheel steamboat, the Mississippi Queen. Singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket way down south, way down in New Orleans, singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket out of Memphis town on the Mississippi Queen. Well, I got me a job on the barges and tows, loading soybeans from Mexico. Since the farmers failed 10 years ago, I'll never see where she'll come from, never see where she'll go. Oh Lord, buy me a ticket way down south, way down in New Orleans, singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket out of Memphis town on the Mississippi Queen. Oh Lord, buy me a ticket way down south, way down in New Orleans, singing, oh Lord, buy me a ticket on a stern wheel steamboat, the Mississippi Queen.
Really nice, Eric.
Thanks.
Very nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
This trip down the Mississippi, that was canoe?
Yeah, we traveled down the length of the river in a canoe. I traveled with Dave Freeman, who you guys might know. He and his wife Amy are in the middle of the a huge canoe project. Mm-hmm. And they're actually in Boston right now. Yeah.
So listening to that song, were you wishing you were on a steamboat rather than the canoe? Or
no,
you
not
were
at
envisioning
all.
What happened.
You know, I met so many people along the way who only knew their little nook of the river, and you know, you could see a little tinge of jealousy in their eyes that we were going to places that that they had never been to or would never go, and you know, they see all these ships moving up and down the river all day, every day, and hoping that maybe one day they'll get on one.
You know, Joe Zellner talked to us a couple years ago, I think, when he kayaked down there, and he mentioned that there's some pretty big boats you get up next to.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
A little nervous sometimes.
Yeah, the barges, you know, the ones that are pushing 42 are pretty big. Uh-huh. And then once you get south of Baton Rouge, that's where the ocean-going vessels come up to, and those are really big.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Then you were wishing you were on that steamboat.
Oh, I prefer a canoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
10 years, and then it popped out.
Yeah.
The song.
Yeah. Yep. So, hopefully something will come out of my trip down the Amazon too. But
yeah.
Well, I wonder what kind of music that'll be.
Well, you might have to change your style
exactly,
a little bit for that
exactly.
one. So. Yeah. You know, I was talking to Bob earlier this evening about Jerry Vandiver, and when he was up canoeing, and he's been a good friend of ours here, and also both of yours, and quite a songwriter.
Yeah, he's really great. I got to perform a bunch of songs of mine in front of him, and he was really complimentary, and so he's just a great guy, very giving, and just really nice.
Yeah, and he played a. He played a gig up at Tuscarora, and then he played a gig down at Sawbill Lodge with you, Bill. And you know, you can't talk with that. There we go. And
it wasn't a gig so much, just a campfire jam, and it was mostly Bump Lomberg, great talented local songwriter, and Eric and I, and then my crew. That was about it, really.
Right.
Okay.
And what a night, though! What a great night! And I have to say, you know, Jerry. You know, obviously a consummate professional songwriter, does it for a living in Nashville for big names, the biggest names. And but he wasn't, you know, just head and shoulders better than Bump and Eric. I mean, really, they held their own, mm-hmm. I should
Certainly.
Say, very ably.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. Went from one to the next playing songs. And
just played in the round, and it was really nice. So,
yeah, as Eric said, he was very complimentary of both Bump's
really
and
nice.
Eric's writing. So it's fun. And I think that's part of having, you know, big-time people like that around and the mountain stage. Mm-hmm. It inspires you to strive, shoot higher, aim higher, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bob and I had promoted his stop at Sawbill's, so you can see how many people listened to the Roadhouse. Yeah. By how many people showed up.
Bill's crew turned up.
Well, that's, turned yeah. What the luckily heck? They...
pretty captive yeah. audience, though.
They had to walk 30 feet. And there was beer there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. We should have mentioned that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah,
that'd have been
crowd.
A draw.
Much bigger crowd.
Eric, what have you got on tap? What do you got in mind for us?
I'm going to do a tune I wrote. This is one of the more recent tunes that I wrote. This one's called Worn Out Boots.
I'm not ever going back. Same as it was before I spoke your name. None of it remains but the shadows and the stains. You took all that I could claim. A cigarette to share and an old dirty pair of worn out boots that ain't been anywhere. Gonna put my bottle down, back around. I'm gonna hide all I ever found. 'Cause every time I leave, change the locks and lose the key. Throw all I own into the sea.
Thank you, Eric.
No problem.
Very nice.
That sounded great.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know we talked about it before, but there's always a different audience out there. What got you involved in music, Eric?
A childhood full of records and tapes.
Okay.
I just...
Well, I had that too, but I didn't get anywhere with it.
Yeah, and then, I wanted to be that guy who could... Who could play guitar and sing. And so, I mean, I breathe music, and I really just feel that it's such a part of me that I don't even know where it comes from or where it's going or anything like that. But it's kind of ingrained, so I wouldn't know what to do without it.
I can vouch for that. I think he was born, and he's got a nephew that's got the same thing. He's what, six now?
Yeah.
And it's just like, five. You can see it's just in him, so.
And you two have a long history together too, being associated
right.
with right. Sabe
Outfitters. We have a long friendship, but we really didn't play music together until about 3 years ago, very much, which was kind of, we're kind of sorry about that now.
Did he was he cracking the whip, Eric, in those days?
Yeah.
It was all Wash Canoes.
And, you know, and I kind of stopped performing once I went to college. I kind of got really intimidated by all the better players, and so I just was kind of one of those guys who just, you know, I'd play on the couch, but as soon as anyone ever came in the door, you know, a guitar was away, and it's like, oh, what's this thing doing in my hands? I have no idea. So I took some time off, and like Bill said, I was I'm sorry I did it, because it seems silly not to have pursued that.
Yeah, what gave you the confidence then? What was there any single thing, or you just kind of slowly? It just came to your mind that, hey, I can play? Or,
well, actually, it's funny. I was hanging out with Bump one night, Bump Lomberg, and we were just playing around a campfire and having fun, and it was very loose. And, you know, he knew that I at least knew some basic chords. And the next day he was like, man, that was really fun. What are you doing just playing on your couch? You know, you need to be out. And so, so I owe a lot of it to him for saying, you know, hey, you're all right. You can do this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you see, Buck, there's a future for you
there's
and your kazoo.
There is.
For you and your kazoo.
I gotta find a campfire.
There you go.
Apparently, and just hang out there till somebody comes by.
That's where maybe a lot of the magic happens.
You're gonna have a long wait.
It could be a real long wait. Even if a lot of people come by, it'll be a long wait. I'll tell you that. You know, we were talking, as long as we were talking about Jerry Vandiver, I'll just bring this up quick, but he was in studio and we talked about all the songs that he's written, and the songs that worked, got out there, mm-hmm. were not necessarily in his mind the best songs.
Right.
By any means.
That's usually the case. You know, you talk to songwriters who are, you know, fairly prolific, or at least have success in being a songwriter, and man, they got notebooks of songs that, you know, nobody's ever really heard, but they're chestnuts, they're really good, you know.
Yeah.
So and he had a bunch, he shared a bunch with them with us.
Yeah. And he had a lot of them that did work, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As far as getting out there for other performers to purchase and use and stuff. But now, do you find it as a songwriter that, I mean, a lot of them end up going over to your left or your right, as far as what happens to them?
Yeah, some of them, you know, I mean, some of them just never really develop. You know, and those are the ones that, you know, you try and come back to, but they're just not there yet. And some days it's really easy to just, they just come right out.
And you've got to keep taking trips, because it, you know, 10 years goes by and finally it pops out there.
But right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
You say you haven't written anything about the Amazon experience that you had.
Right.
But yet it's there. It was a big experience for you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, I mean, every day's an experience.
Sure.
You learn something. And whether it's in, you know, foreign country or right in your own living room, you know, sometimes that bolt of lightning just shocks you. You know, some people call it a muse, some people call it whatever. And but sometimes it's really there, and sometimes you really have to drag it out.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always repeat Greg Brown's quote, a great songwriter, and somebody asked him about, you know, how do the songs come, and he said, they're just like any other bodily function, they just come out. So I mean,
they're not like a lot of mine.
I thought that was a good quote, though, because I think there's some truth in that. I think they sort of do just come out of certain people. Actually, Eric, I think I had a small part in encouraging him, browbeating him might be a better word, into writing songs, because he was saying, oh, I can't write songs. I'm like, come on, you're an English major. Get with it. And
so was I, though.
They're good songs.
Didn't help me.
They're coming out.
You know, Arlo Guthrie had a good line, too, about, he said, it's just not that hard. He said, it's kind of like lying on your back and watching clouds. All of a sudden, really a nice one will come along.
Yeah.
And you can describe it.
That's a good way to look at it.
It is. It is. I wish it were harder than that. You know, I mean, because then it'd make it that much more worthwhile, I guess.
So. Yeah. Well, we sure have. We'd like to hear another one if sure. you can drag another one out.
Sure. Yeah.
At least one.
Actually.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna do one here that I wrote. I went to school in Southeast Ohio, right on the Appalachian. It's the only county in Ohio that's considered Appalachia, and I played this tune in front of the Mountain Stage guys, and they thought it was pretty darn cool. So,
and they're from West Virginia.
They're from West Virginia, which is just right across the river. And I used to spend just about every weekend. I went to college in West Virginia, so I know where these guys are coming from, and kind of have a shared experience with some of them. So anyway, here's this tune.
Eric Frost, everybody,
that was great.
Accompanied by
Thank
Bill
you.
Hansen.
That was great.
And Bill, remind me, steel guitar, dobro, what are we playing there?
Most people call it the dobro,
okay.
Which is a brand name. So the Dobro Company, owned by Gibson Guitar, doesn't like it if you publish that or say it on the radio or anything like that.
I bet they're listening.
They'll sue your pants off.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
So it's generically referred to as the resophonic guitar. It has a metal cone in it, a real lightweight metal cone that makes for that metallic sound.
Is yours a dobro?
No, actually, it's
a Rezzo something.
Yeah, Rezzophonic guitar. Yeah. So it's like Kleenex brand name, but pretty ubiquitous brand name. So you normally would call it the Dobro.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, very good.
Eric, is moonshine still part of that culture from where you were raised? Yes, strongly part of it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wrote that song thinking about moonshine and thinking about, you know, how much easier it was when it was just moonshine. You know, other things have moved in and kind of flooded the playing field there. But definitely.
Now, is it just that the companies that put it in the liquor stores can't make it right, or is it just because they still like to do it?
Well, there is kind of that outlaw mentality of it, and no sales tax is collected on it or anything like that. That's kind of that's the reason it's illegal. I don't know much about it other than that there's good and bad.
good and bad moonshine.
Yeah.
And the bad stuff.
Stay away from
the bad stuff. You go blind. Yeah. It could lead you to Dane Bramage, which is not good.
Exactly.
So. It's interesting because, you know, moonshine was made just about everywhere, including Cook County.
Yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
Yet it didn't become a part of this culture. Yeah. And nobody's singing about it here. But
I know.
Except me. Of course, but that comes from your background.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just hangs on some places and doesn't others.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in opportunity to play another tune. What have you got as far as your last song? Maybe you can talk a little bit about it.
Tell
us where it came from.
This last song just came out yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
quick. I wrote it yesterday. And I wrote it for my grandpa. He gave up an attorney practice and went out and lived a fairly solitary life on a lake in north central Wisconsin. And that place was really instrumental to me in terms of shaping, you know, my views on nature and my wanderlust and just wanting to be around water all the time. And he was a pretty great example of just being a great guy who lived out in the woods and never really never asked for much.
So he kind of dropped out of what he was doing and went to what he wanted to do.
Exactly. And that's a tough leap, you know, to go from that and then kind of dive into the shallow end of the pool. But at the same time, you know, living amongst nature and in the woods is, it offers such a great lifestyle, as we all know up here. And so a lot of my decision-making, in life is kind of based around his example. And so I wanted to write, a tune about him and the place he called home for so long. The song is called A Rose Owes Its Mud. The reason I chose that title is because he always claimed that he lived on Rose Lake, which growing up, we always knew it as Rose Lake. It might have been right before he died or just after. We kind of realized that all this time we've been living on Mud Lake.
No.
I think he just thought that Rose was prettier than mud. And so, you know, hey, I live on Rose Lake. I live on, you know, whatever lake I want. And but it's so this is we'll see. This, you know, it's pretty fresh, so bear with any. Bill just heard it about 10 minutes ago for the first time.
So is this the debut?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, another first.
Another first for the Roadhouse.
We're liking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we go.
Still hangs on the wall in that cabin where my grandpa spent his days and dreamt his nights under winter sun and one gaslight. Proofreading letters that my mama wrote alone at a table near a radio with politics or a ball game. Looking up to heaven and waiting on the rain. And you know, Rose owes its mud. And your past is in my blood. And your shadow grows long the path I'm on. The crack of the screen door opens up the room's dry flies in a tin, still waiting on you in an overturned boat on the hillside. Only needs a ten horse to make her fly. Boats being covered by the maple leaves, red as the flames that burn in me. Oh, the wood that you put up, let's take that boat and try love. And you know, a rose owes its mud. And your past is in my blood. And your shadow grows long path among. Well, the Maltillus record still hangs on the wall up from the basement where my grandpa never complained about getting old. Gave me a life cast from his mold. And you know, Rose owes its mud. And your past is in my blood. And your shadow grows long the path we're on.
Eric Frost, everybody out there. Eric's going to be playing down at the Cascade Pub. That's
that was
tomorrow
really
night.
Good.
It was beautiful
was
song.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
What time?
That gig is from 7:30 to 9:30. So come on out. It's a really great time. Bill will probably be there. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can convince my lovely bride Jessa to come out and play some fiddle. Mm-hmm. With us tomorrow night, although that's to be determined.
Depends on what kind of day she has at work.
Right. You'll at least see the two of us. So come on out. It's a great spot. And we'll see you all tomorrow night.
And of course, that's Bill Hansen. He's going to be playing, you didn't hear it here, the dobro. Because we don't want to get in trouble. Well, I want to thank both you guys for coming into the station. It's always so much fun to have you here and beautiful music.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. And, really a huge thanks to shows like this and WTIP as a whole for supporting live local music. You know, the local music calendar it's awesome. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.